Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, shared on accessmedia.nz with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Afternoon, guy. Afternoon, guys, and welcome to Shoutopedia. I'm Chad Abesha on today's show. We'll discuss you about I will be talking to you about the pandemic response, government assess new transit rules, overcare advice. That's all coming up for my show. Right now I'm going to play Animal Code by KSA on Shoutopedia on Arrow FM. You're the boss, you run the circus, baby. Take it up a notch, you're so sophisticated. Don't wanna be on a schedule, you're on your own time. Off the scale, that goes from hot to crazy. Fingernails, won't you think colors painted? Crop top and baggy jeans holding your waistline. Safe with me. Nobody knows you're out of control, but I see a side behind the closed doors. They get a glimpse here on the dance floor. You move like an animal. Nobody knows you're out of control, but I see a side behind the closed doors. They get a glimpse here on the dance floor. You move like an animal. I'll be gone by morning, so get your heels on the floor then. So are you with me? Be careful what you're wishing for, cause I get freaky. You make the light in the shadows good. Your body gets twisted and tangled in mine. Love so good, how could this be free? I keep your secret safe with me. Nobody knows you're out of control, but I see a side behind a closed door. I'm still on the dance floor. You move like an animal. Nobody knows you're out of control, but I see a side behind a closed door. They get a glimpse here on the dance floor. You move like an animal. I'm getting overwhelmed right now. Want you to give it to me all night long. That was Animal by Kesai on Shoutopedia on Arrow FM. Right. The government's committed in future pandemic so release and clarifies behind major decisions of that's behind major discussion affecting people's lives within 5 working days. First one of the key points in this response to the 6-3 recommendations from the World Commission of Inquiry into COVID pandemic response released today by the Health Ministry.
with a National Party actually slammed the cost of long lockdown, saying it destroyed the economy by a physical entry from Labour's reckless effort because they attempted to wreck the economy. Now the governor's urging the charges to future pandemic responses. As Zimmer Brown said to shake up the health response, what do it did because I think Labour's party's lockdown has actually got too strict and too authoritarian. As HS and Ardern's governors now liability for us long lockdowns are hurting so much, no wonder why we have a standing economy now. This is not fun. Because we don't want another Labour government to wreck our... We don't want another Labour government to wreck our future pay to ourselves. Otherwise, we're going to wreck our economy forever. And going for more research and lost business confidence within New Zealand.
Of the Royal Commission of Inquiry into COVID-19 has been released. Deciding that the first phase of the inquiry was inadequate, the coalition government expanded the terms of reference to focus on lockdowns and vaccine mandates. In particular, finding out whether the former government had considered the impact these decisions would have on society, health, education and our economy. The report makes 24 formal recommendations, including framing the elimination strategy as temporary, limiting the use of urgency in lawmaking, keeping an eye on the research around social cohesion, and creating financial assistance scheme options ahead of a next crisis. But wasn't there already an inquiry? Why did ACT and New Zealand First both insist on another? And will this government make any moves on these recommendations? Today on the front page, Health Minister Simeon Brown is with us to discuss the final report's findings and whether we've actually learned anything from it. So, Minister, first tell me about the importance of this report. What's the purpose of it?
Well, this report was commissioned by this government to look at some of the key decisions made during the COVID-19 pandemic by the previous government, in particular the effect of the lockdowns, vaccine mandates, and also the economic impact of the decisions that were made at the time. And it's really important that this report was done because these decisions had such an enormous impact on everyone's life in New Zealand in terms of how, you know, the economy, in terms of our health system, and also in terms of, you know, everyone's individual ability to, you know, see their friends and neighbours and family and friends. So, and of course their work. So every aspect of our life was impacted by COVID. And so it's critically important that we ask the hard questions. And today this report's now been tabled in Parliament.
Did the Phase 1 report that the last government commissioned, did that not ask the tough questions?
Look, no, it didn't go far enough. It asked a large number of questions in relation to pandemic preparedness, things such as the vaccine rollout, access to tests. So it asked a number of important questions, but ultimately it didn't ask some of the harder and tougher questions, which were in terms of the effect of the lockdowns, the vaccine mandates, the economic cost of the previous government's decisions. And effectively what this report has found is that the last government did lock New Zealanders down for longer than was necessary. It did spend more than was required to respond to the pandemic and kept on spending. And ultimately, New Zealanders are still feeling the cost of that still today with in terms of cost in the economy. So this report was critically important because we need to learn the lessons. And as the report says, the best thing that can be done in terms of preparing for future shocks, whether that's a pandemic, a natural disaster or an economic shock, is we have to have prudent fiscal management of our economy in order to be as prepared as possible in the case of any particular future shocks that we may face as a country.
Right, so this report suggests that many opportunities to improve economic decision-making were missed throughout the response. Can you give me an example of maybe one of these missed opportunities?
Well, I think what the report highlights, and this follows on from the Treasury report last year, which shows that around half of the $60 billion that was spent responding to COVID was actually spent on things which weren't necessarily related to COVID. You know, an example of that was in relation to the so-called shovel-ready projects, a number of projects across the country designed to get infrastructure underway. But many of those projects weren't shovel already, but they were inflationary and they did push costs up through the economy. And that was an example where the government, once the advice came through very clearly from Treasury saying, actually, the amount of money that's being spent is stimulatory. It is pushing up inflation. The government had opportunity to start turning the dial down on some of that expenditure, which would have reduced inflation in the economy. And New Zealanders would have been better off today if they had actually made those decisions. But unfortunately, they didn't. And as the report finds, the commission finds, they were not aware of any decision or anything that was done where they actually tried to reduce the stimulatory impact of their fiscal policies during the response to the pandemic, despite many opportunities to do so.
Would that have kept people employed, though?
Well, many of these projects didn't start for years after the funding was actually applied. And so the report says, actually, if you're going to try and stimulate the economy, the thing you need to be doing is making sure that's going into things which actually make a real difference straight away. They need to be timely. They need to be quick to set up. It recommends, actually, the best thing that the last government could have done is actually invest in maintenance and repairs. And, you know, we think of all the potholes that were developing on the roads during those times. Actually, that's where, if you think about a timely response, which actually is focused on employment, those types of initiatives would have been far more effective than, you know, big capital projects, which take years to get going. And by that stage, is having a real inflationary impact. And we saw the inflationary impact of that, of the economic response the last government undertook.
So the inquiry also found that social spending boosts provided a safety net, but obviously cost billions and contributed to inflation. Net government debt as a share of GDP almost doubled between 2019 and 2022. Does it give any clues as to what we perhaps could have done instead? Because vision is 2020 in hindsight, right?
Well, no doubt we needed to spend money responding to the pandemic, you know, from a health perspective, making sure that we kept people in jobs through the wage support. That was critically important to protect lives and livelihoods. But, you know, as the Treasury report and as the Royal Commission highlights, half of the money that was spent didn't have a connection to a direct response to the actual pandemic. And money was spent on initiatives which continued for many years to come afterwards. This government has been elected to cut wasteful spending and get government expenditure back under control, because that's critically important to, you know, reduce inflation, reduce interest rates so that Kiwis aren't feeling the pressure left behind by the previous government. So the lesson here is twofold. Expenditure needs to be timely. It needs to be focused on the issue, but also the previous government didn't take the opportunities that they did have. It particularly highlights the period of time between around February 2021 and August 2021, where New Zealand was not facing COVID in the community, unlike many other countries. That was an opportunity for them. And they were also being advised that they were having a stimulatory impact on the economy through their expenditure. That was the time for them to actually reduce the expenditure that they were making and think differently about how they responded. They didn't take up those opportunities. But look, looking forward, we have to think about how do we be prepared in the face of future uncertainty, whether that's an economic shock. We're currently facing the situation with Iran, whether it's a natural disaster or whether that's a pandemic. The best thing that we can do as a country to be prepared is to make sure we have prudent fiscal economic plans. And the best way to do that is to make sure we have a growing economy. So that is very much in line with the government's approach at the moment around our economic policies. And, you know, going back to the old days of spending, borrowing, and spending on programs which don't actually have an impact is not the solution and will not make us more prepared for future shocks, which this report highlights the need for us to be very mindful of.
The report also suggests that a former minister has actually come out and acknowledged that the public health benefits of lockdowns did not emphatically outweigh the costs by the end of 2021. Now, How could this be true, do you think, given the fact that it is a fact that fewer people died from COVID in New Zealand than in almost any other OECD country?
Well, I think what the report highlights is that, for many, and many New Zealanders would, most New Zealanders would agree that the initial lockdowns were critically important to protect lives, livelihoods, and that New Zealand benefited from that. As we got into late 2021, the previous government struggled to actually form an exit strategy and to give New Zealanders their freedom back. And actually what the report highlights is they actively ignored the officials' advice from the Ministry of Health, which gave them the opportunity to lift those restrictions sooner, and they didn't. And a couple of examples of that is they left Auckland in level 4 for longer than needed in 2021, late 2021, against official advice. They also left a boundary in place around Auckland over the summer of 21-22, which officials recommended was not necessary, was not needed. Auckland had already been in lockdown for many months at that point, and there was no need for that. The vaccination rates across the country were very high, and it wasn't needed. In fact, the officials said that that boundary should have been lifted on the 15th of December. Chris Hipkins went to Cabinet and said, well, my view is it should stay until the 9th of January. Cabinet eventually agreed to the 16th of January. It actually went for even a longer period of time. And so Aucklanders had their summer taken away from them after months of lockdown, whilst at the same time, the official advice was being ignored. And New Zealanders put a huge amount of trust and confidence in the ministers of the day and in Chris Hipkins. He stood up every single day and he said, I am doing this on the basis of official health advice. The Royal Commission highlights in a number of instances, no, he wasn't. And New Zealanders deserve trust and transparency so they could have trust and confidence in terms of these major decisions that really impacted them and are still impacting them today.
Is it sometimes, though, better to be safe than sorry?
Well, I think in this regard, you need to make sure you're getting the balance right. And many Aucklanders had done the right thing, had got vaccinated, had some of the highest rates in the country. And the government chose to ignore the official health advice. This was health advice saying it's safe to remove these restrictions. We were being told by Chris Hipkins that he was following health advice. And really, it's up to him to explain why he made that decision. It's up to him. He owes an explanation to New Zealanders and to Aucklanders as to why he ignored that advice, why he left those restrictions in place longer, and ultimately why we're facing the economic and social costs which followed from that. You know, the lockdowns were not free. They had a huge impact in terms of our economy, a huge impact on our debt. And actually, we needed to make sure that New Zealanders were getting given the right information.
If a governor listen to your advice, this will be so much this will be such a better advice for everyone. Now it's not, because Labour shows harsh lockdown that ended up building and destroyed a economy. Chris Higgins would have liked to hear that because he probably worried he had to be blamed by national for fear economic misfortunes. That's why it just came out now. The government has tried to make any vision more penetrative, democratized, more transparent. And also Labour's transfer plan by getting shovels ready, if they get shovels, and they're going to drive up inflation so high, which makes hard life even more harder for us. The National Guard did rather step in and cut inflation back down to 2%. 2%, but by the time I get into government, because National Guard try bring basis back to the Bramble Roads and under comedy facts. that's the one. Let's pray Labour never get back, and otherwise got to drive a more spend more than like in 2021. Now I'm going to play Orbiter by Bastion by Alyssa Grace on Charger PDR on Arrow FM.
Too young to fully understand. That's why I never healed from it healthy. Why I never trusted the man. You gotta love all that you have, and I'll take that to my grave. Soon you'll open up your eyes, and it'll all be gone one day. And I'm sitting here convincing you to pick up the phone and call. I am my father's daughter, but I'm nothing like him at all. And I hear him in the way I speak, or when I look in the mirror. The anger's grown in me, it shows. Could it be any clearer that I'm like him? Cause he made me the way I am when we're fighting, and all I need is somebody. Stay off my mind and far out of my bloodstream. You never laid your hands on me, and that's something that I'm grateful for. But I should've known that you'd gone mad when I saw the way you punched your doors. And I don't regret loving you, cause I know that you needed it. But the way you treated me made me feel like a little kid. Something deep inside of me tells me that you're not better now. And I'm sorry that I couldn't help, but I'm so glad I made it happen. I'm crying on my mama's floor. Why don't you want this anymore? And I'm craving you to change for me. You're saying I hear you and I love you, but my heart, it hurts for you. And I just cannot give you what you need. Am I too much of my
bloodstream. Fails battery by Alyssa Grace on Jada Pidia on Arrow FM. Former New South Wales Minister Rob Mark is in shadows on a return to national politics despite questioning when he performed by Newsom and the possibility of record drop in Europe advocating for Ukraine amid this war with Russia. Rob Mark says New South Wales is a confession by Tim Fink. If I don't meet me, but former Academy is in warning out for coming out New South Wales candidate as he won't say whenever he will attend New South Wales public meeting in Marsden this weekend, and won't confirm whenever decision will be made before the meeting. As far as Mark's attendance at the party's Auckland convention almost 2 weeks ago, and speculation filled by Labour MP Cam McNulty claims Mark's been telling people he will stand in a water pursuit. Mark, a former defence minister who first became an MP in 1996, was in a crowd when his first annual convention across Australia 18 and 19, and which he told reporters he was considering to stand as a candidate at the upcoming election. Speaking to a Herald on Tuesday evening, Mark said he was still thinking and the confessed, even though I thought of no. To be perfectly honest with you, I heard a very good job offer in Europe, and I have job offer in this country international, but I think of it good at while I was the Minister of Defence Diplomacy, I found to be my fault. Mm-hmm. Well, when I was offered a very good job, I was having lots of people doing the sort of things support you guys have been doing coming up with these as if appealing. As for McNulty's comments, Max, and he had spoken to the library and be almost standing. I don't know what he's talking to. By the way, says, get your get out of a horse mouth is always best, Karen. Next, the first words of Peter's hosting, but Papa mentioned Masterton on Sunday. Ask he, whenever he attended, Mark said, well, I mean to cover and see where, to see where things were. As will Papa Rose said, we'll see. As he made a decision to head over me, Margaret was a vocal, he missed during this interview with a hero and say, Moa have an influential swing on it. I acknowledge someone's traditional return to national politics. Wasn't a night we are good to have a zone shift in the dark and helping out rebuild our defense force. Our defense force is in a bloody mess right now. He expected the defense minister will be a Uru job for the one. Alongside Minister for Veterans, I heard you do it, but I find it no fit on a government policy. I watch 4 ministers of defense and but I press him as fire. Don't have my background, so do they. No one in the house does. Most of the time, so do your locks back. Here I come. But I've always been a simple soldier, and I put my country first. However, Marx's experience of a 2-day party conference indicated he may not be needed. He loved the Evertina, the largest in party history with almost 400 delegates, and highlighted the growth of party's youth faction and youth of his appeal to Pacific populations. Just as his first really long Rene remark, I don't think so. People like me maybe do accept that we aren't a party anymore. We're the people who helped build it, and I'm immensified what I created, but you know, I've been interested in being to go back because the party has moved on. Despite his comments, Mark Whitaker would never he would return as a candidate at this year's election. He did not for reason contributions via the comments made by former deputy leader Shoshos and former candidate Shodash having motivated him. It's just poor politics and it's media culture about it and it's the best. I just find that we'll say probably in fact discussion will go back to that point. No, that does not affect me. Does not affect my political views because I was considering going to a new surface Papa meeting on a Sunday. So while that's a good guy, I think we still really need Romo because he's a king. He knows how to get defense beating back on track. Despite Junish desire of his call for church rights and Junish controversial comments saying core national candidate and current MP candidate member lazy will cause him to withdraw from politics and been replaced by my woman. Right, moving down prices as the party expected to fall a feature, but not necessarily for the reason you might think. Back last week on the page of transition charges for 0.5 million right vehicles to paint our road network through electronic road review charges, AUC, rather than petrol tax. On April 3rd, to charge more amounts across budget obtained by News Talk CB under official information, officially expect petrol prices to go down as the transition takes place. The beef was presented by Metro Transport, which emerged at the new credit agency MCRT, Metro Cities and Environment Regions and Transport, and decided to fully address the disability. between the field excise duty and road duty charges for field tax would need to increase by 26% to 9.1% a litre, which is not taking place. Petra says the field tax of 70 cents per litre while other vehicles pay a RSC of $38 or $76 per 1,000 kilometres travel dependent on their powertrain. But cost of the average car now consists 8.1 litres for 100 kilometres and across a point where RSC and petrol taxes are the same where petrol car that uses 8.4 litres per 100 kilometres, meaning on average drivers of light petrol vehicles pay less than RSC users. Moving everyone to RSC, what address the dispute between EVD fuel excise duty and RUC, the agency said. Officials told Petra that fuel cars are different fuel factory and drive on different terrain. Some Petra cars pay more than kilometer than taxi and others. But I see what be fair and enjoy overall users contribute based on usage. The taxi will be faced with reduced petrol prices as well as users switch to paying for the road and liquid free RUC. The aim, meanwhile, Premier Bishop, but also said the minister was working for a health future project will be funded if a playing field tax and AC increases do not go through. And this time, AMCID was said review of pricing would be undertaken before changes go ahead. Last time, Bishop reacted to Parliament and said it was unlikely field tax will be rising in January, but said the picture tax be fallen by 20% in real terms since 2020 and described national land finance. Massively oversubscribed. The bill shifted AC to a digital system had been recently had a second reading apartment and modernizers are expected to be ready for use in 2027 MCRTZ. PHP, despite a versatile conflict in the Middle East and the closure of Strait of Hormuz. Well, digital opportunity costs a 6% threshold, which means opportunity will make us permanent there be by 2020, by after the next election. No, I'm going to play, Right now, I'm going to play Baby's You by Promises on Chatterpedia on Every FM.
She said, you don't want me anymore. You're holding me now, but she said, you can't see me no more. You whisper goodbye, then cling tighter to me. I can't take no more. Oh, no. Fingers through my hair, but saying you can't no more. You're kissing my ear with heart-chilling breath, that you can't no more. Laying beside me with legs all around me, I can't no more. Oh, no.
That was BBC by Professor Sonja Dripedia on Arrow FM. Last week, new British Prime Minister Eddie Bevins took office on July 2026. He succeeded Keir Starmer, becoming a Labour Prime Minister in a decade. President Keir Starmer was actually criticised for a policy due to his staff controversy and local relations, and especially he appointed Peter Madison, you know, as a Conservative succeed in London Jeffrey S. Sen, which mostly contributed to its undoing. Shasta Labour in New Zealand five ended up tax more, spend more, and kind of get things delivered like greater economy. Which caused the power of brief writers to be fallen. Donald Trump's meet with Prime Minister Zelensky, UK's President, and Benjamin Netanyahu, as well as Prime Minister. Before giving eulogy at the funeral of Lindsey Graham, the US Senate photo confirmed Jay Clayton as Director of National Intelligence, and joined Donald Trump's back in the role despite his lack of prior experience with intelligence, because his failed to be Trump's alleged conspiracy wingman. Well, Prime Minister Zelensky watched a Senate gary for US Senate voted a 6-2 to advance Lindsey Graham Saturday. Saturday, Russia and Iran at Denver Center said farewell work to limit effects further tariff or fire for Saturday's bill would give Trump. You guys raised it from his lazy top foxes on Tuesday that Donald Trump's again agreed to allow Ukraine to manage its own Patriot Air defense and decided to defend against Russian ballistic missile attacks. As Ukraine's president told Fox News on Tuesday that Donald Trump again agreed to allow Ukraine to manage its own Patriot Air defense and deceptors to defend against Russian ballistic missile attacks. He accepted he will give things license and defend a hidden media with representatives of productive edge joint military companies of the United States to lose the top Fox News host George Hannity. I hope that we'll do co-production. Trump initially made a comment 3 years ago at the NATO summit in Turkey when he told Zelensky, "We are going to make license to you make patriots first political right. That's why we can't complain we're not giving enough saying, making for yourself, you haven't informed the company of a year, but federal worker right, you know." But I'll be failed. Out. Because Weber's court tight years to manufacture, so he's eager to start production. So he also meet with Lockheed Martin, which makes missile for Patriot Systems, during a visit to Washington on Tuesday. Right, I'm gonna play Fashion's Wave by TSA Features Swimming Pool on Jada Pia on Arrow Event.
archives on a VHS. And my dogs are like 3 a.m. In past times we ain't seen paychecks, but we was deep in the shit way less. Now I'm feeling to reach apex. I find that I replace sleep with stress. It's my life and I've been playing chess. It's prime time now, I gotta leave fake friends. On my journey I'm up on the move, and shorty might cool and she up off the juice. Oh well, I'm working on me, you should work on yourself. Remember my face, but there's somebody else. Now I'm out of the picture, rewrite the scripture, we didn't chill. I feel like I've been there and seen it through hell. I swear that I mean it, I'm done with these girls.
Famous features, 5 TSA features, so put on Chatterpedia on error. Even right now, I am gonna play. I'm going to tell you services to cities and what. Right, I'm going to tell you the most safest cities in the West World are number 10, Vienna, Austria, combines low crime rates with top marks in global index for stability and infrastructure. Number 9, Munich, Germany, we're excited as the safest major urban center in Central and Western Europe. Office Premier, Mumbai Search, Switzerland, offers premier healthcare, security, economic stability, and low overall crime. Number 7, Stockholm, Sweden maintains high security metrics, low systemic crime relative to other global capitals. Number 6, Melbourne, Australia. High rate of low risk of smuggling of street data, effective local governance, mostly concentrated around the eastern suburbs. As West Southern suburbs ended up becoming more data driven, influxes, South Sydney's refugees ended up private crime and mid rates up. Number 5, Wellington, New Zealand. Made for a strong community focused urban design in top tier environmental society. Amount for Amsterdam, Netherlands by world-class better security status with progress of public safety and infrastructure. Amount for Sydney, Australia scores expectation high across infrastructure, reality, health outcomes, and personal safety. Amount to Toronto, Canada recognized as one of the most secure and most stable largest metropolitan hubs in North America. Amount one goes to Copenhagen, Denmark, frequently. Amount one globally in personal security and overall urban safety, both in high social trust and minimal violent crime. Right, I'm going to play Fear, so both give us a feature rap failure on Chartopedia on our event. Phil's Bloodlines by COVID on Data Video on Arrow FM. Before that, it was Sligo by Skipper's feature with Valor. For fans of the day is only 10% of the world's population is left-handed. Right, I'm going to play you a final song of the day before I bugger off. I'm going to play AC/DC's Who Made Who. Who Made Who by AC/DC on Shadowpedia on RAM. Well, that's it for Shadowpedia. I will see next Wednesday. I hope his government political polls can approve so self-confidence in a Luxon government. and kick David Seymour out. Because he's a nutcase. He is absolutely a nutcase. Because looks like he has some hair fetal alcohol syndrome with no full lips. He hasn't got a lip. What is ugly asshole David Seymour is. They need to leave Parliament. I never want to see him again. I hope National SFS will build a coalition alone. So, I'll see you next week as I fist the shadow video on Arrow.